Special Counsel Robert Mueller announced the indictment of 13 Russian nationals and three Russian entities last week, accusing them of interfering with U.S. elections in 2016. On top of that, a Dutch attorney with Russian ties has pleaded guilty to lying about contact with an assistant to former Trump campaign manager Paul Manafort. And Republicans and Democrats came together months ago on a 98-2 vote to hit Russia with stronger sanctions. President Trump hasn't enforced those yet. So has Russia returned to a Cold War approach to relations with the U.S., and how could that affect spying? With me to talk about that is Paul Kinsinger, former member of the U.S. intelligence community and emeritus faculty at the Thunderbird School of Global Management. Paul, for you, what does all this indicate about Russia's renewed willingness to play hardball through its spying?
Well, I think it's the firmest thing we have seen come down the road of just what the game is between today's modern Russia under Vladimir Putin and the United States of America. And the return of Vladimir Putin, an authoritarian Russian nationalist who has a long memory and is, by training, a national intelligence officer who grew up in the Cold War mentality, we are seeing a formidable foe who does not and has not forgotten what he believes was gross interference in Russia's internal politics by the United States in 2011, and clearly decided it was necessary for Moscow to come up with a strategy to bring that home to us and make us feel the same thing.
In your mind, is the U.S. at a disadvantage now because of the leadership that we have now in the Oval Office, considering that the Senate voted 98-2 on certain sanctions Russia? I mean, we don't see a lot of bipartisanship in the House or the Senate. We saw it with that.
Right.
And apparently the president has not seen fit to enforce those. And then the fact that Putin has, I'm going to understate this, a huge chip on his shoulder when it comes to the U.S. How much does it hurt the intelligence community? How much does it hurt others to counter what Putin is doing?
You know, you've hit upon some of the major questions at work here and the things that are most troubling in my mind, Steve. So great questions. I think first and foremost, we have the biggest question we have before us is why a sitting president of the United States does not have a policy to respond to what is the greatest interference in United States internal affairs since probably the British in the period up to the War of 1812, perhaps Europe during the Civil War. Why this has not captured the full attention of the president and this administration, and why they have not come up with a pronounced strategy for dealing with this, call it what it is and come up with a strategy for dealing with this, remains an amazing mystery. The second thing is, of course, this in and of itself places the administration's executive agencies at a bit of a setback, because without a pronounced policy on this, a strategy for dealing with it, then what are these guys supposed to be doing except operating under normal operating procedures, which is, you know, in the case of the national intelligence community, to be watchful of and preventive of efforts by other countries to do harm to this country's national security.
Is it possible at all that, for lack of a better term, that the Russians sort of threw a bunch of stuff against the wall to see what stuck, and they figured out that this was going to stick and stick well? Is it possible this was dumb luck in some sense? Would they have expected the U.S. to have a better counter to this? And then when we didn't, this was a great advantage for them.
I suspect maybe in its origins there may have been a kind of a dumb luck stage to it. But my take on it is, since they engaged starting in 2014, as the Mueller indictment suggests, they had a pretty good idea what they should be targeting and how, and they simply executed on it. I think over the turn of the months and the year, a couple years of the electoral stages there, they became more focused on their targets and on their messages and played it to pretty critical outcome in that sense. I think there's a lot more than luck involved here. I think they have been very skillful. You know, both sides in the Cold War were very effective at propaganda and used it in many so-called neutral territories around the world where we were battling the Soviets for, you know, hearts and minds, and did so through lots of different kinds of propaganda tools. The thing that technology does is it allows you to have much more massive and much more subtle impact than was the case in the kind of classic era of propaganda and counter-propaganda in the mid-20th century.
Paul, if you were still an active member of the intelligence community, and maybe colleagues of yours, either current, former, whatever it may have been, how aggressively would you want to respond to what Russia has done?
Well, I think this would be up there now among the top five national security intelligence targets and potential threats, along with just general cybersecurity, counterterrorism, and things like this. I think this has to be up there, you know, information warfare aimed at societal divisiveness, ultimately leading to, you know, electoral chaos and breakdown of democratic institutions in this country. That's a big game, and people would gasp, I think, at saying, well, you know, how could you have that as a goal? Well, I think we see that, you know, things can be frayed around the edges, and if you keep working at it, you're going to have some success at this, because we're just, as they say, you know, technology is giving attackers the advantage here right now, whether they are Russian bots or legitimate, you know, voices of extreme dissent in this country. The technology is allowing attackers to hold the advantage in the field versus the defenders, those who would say, you know, that's legit, that's not. That's okay in civil discourse, that's not. That the defensive mechanisms are behind the curve, and that's leaving the field pretty much open for a high offense game that's going on.
Paul Kinsinger is emeritus faculty of the Thunderbird School of Global Management, also a former member of the U.S. intelligence community. Paul, thanks as always for your insights. I always appreciate it.
You bet, Steve. Thanks for calling.